It is, thank you, April 6th. We are in Yirmiyahu. We're in Perek Mem Dalet, chapter 44. And this is the third and final installment of the tragic story of Gedaliah. He's already been murdered, and the Jews have not listened to Yirmiyahu and have run away to Mitzrayim, and they dragged Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah, his primary student, with them to Mitzrayim. So the pasuk says, "Hadavra shahaya el Yirmiyahu," the word that came to Yirmiyahu, "el kol haYehudim hayosh meretz Mitzrayim," to all the Jews who are now dwelling in Eretz Mitzrayim, "hayosh b'migdol uvesach panches uvenof uveretz pasros lemor," that were living in the cities of Migdol, Tach Panches, Nof, and the land of Pasros, saying, "Koma Hashem tzvokos elukei Yisrael," so says Hashem, "Atem re'isem es kol hara'ash hevesi al Yerushalayim ve'al kol hara Yehuda." You saw all the evil that I brought upon Yerushalayim and all the cities of Yehuda. Ve'hinam charba hayom hazeh, and behold, today they are all destroyed. Ve'ein bohem yoshiv, there's no one dwelling there. Why? Mipnei ra'a samesh ra'asu la'achiseni, because of their evil that they did to anger me. La'leches the kater la'avara le'elohim acherim, to go and to offer sacrifices to serve other gods. Ashol yada'um hema atem vavoseichem, that neither they nor you nor their ancestors knew about these other gods. V'ashlach aleichem es kol avadai anevim hashkem v'shaloach le'mor, and I sent to you all of my servants, the Nevi'im, early and ongoing, saying, "Al nasasu es dvar hato'eva hazos asher sanesi," do not do this despicable thing that I hate. That is avodah zarah, idol worship. V'lo shamu, they didn't listen. V'lo hitu esasnam, they did not turn their ears. Lashu of meira asam, to return from their evil. Levilti kater le'elohim acherim, not to worship, not to offer sacrifices to other gods. Vatitach chamasi ve'api, and my anger and my intense anger burned. Vativar bare Yehuda, and it burned in the cities of Yehuda. Uvachutzos Yerushalayim, and in the streets of Yerushalayim. I'm looking at this word vatitach. It really means to pour. My anger poured forth, and it burned in the cities of Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim. Vatiyena lecharba lishmama kayomazeh, and now those streets are destroyed and desolate like today. V'ata, and now koamar Hashem Elokei Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael. Now, so says Hashem, the God of Israel. Lama atem osim ra gedola el nafsho sechem. Why are you doing this great evil to your souls? La hachris lachem ish v'isha olel v'yonek mitoch Yehuda. To cause to have cut off from you every man, woman, child, and infant from within Yehuda. That there should be nothing left from you. Why are you behaving in a way that is going to cause that there will be total and utter destruction? To anger me with the work of your hands. To offer sacrifices to other gods in the land of Mitzrayim. Asher atem boim lagur sham, that you have come to sojourn there. Lama hachris lachem, why should you be destroyed, cut off? Ulaman hayoschem, or laman achris lachem, in order that you be cut off. Ulaman hayoschem liklala ulecherpa b'chol goyei haaretz, and that you should be as a curse and an embarrassment to all the nations of the world. The Jews, upon coming to Mitzrayim, have now begun to worship idolatry, which is unbelievable. It's one thing that they didn't listen in Eretz Yisrael, and they left. They were afraid. They were scared. Recall that Yirmiyahu said, if you stay here, you'll be safe. If you leave, you'll be destroyed. And as we explained, that even though they were certainly wrong for leaving, but we have to put ourselves in their shoes and remember, they were terrified. And as I explained last time, what Yirmiyahu was telling them to do was essentially to go to a very, very, very dangerous place, a place with rampant anti-Semitism, violent anti-Semitism, and announce publicly that they're Jewish and walk around unarmed and alone and expect to be safe. That's basically what he was telling them to do. And they saw that going to Mitzrayim would be a safer move, and therefore they were unwilling to accept what Yirmiyahu said. And we learned last time the way they justified their actions was to say Yirmiyahu is making it up. It's not coming from Hashem. That actually there is, that Yirmiyahu has ulterior motives based on his student, Baruch ben Neriya. That's what we learned last time. So perhaps we can excuse their behavior, even though it was wrong. And Yirmiyahu told them, if you go to Mitzrayim, you're going to be destroyed. But here, they get to Mitzrayim. What do? They worship idols. It's an incredible thing. So we will have to discuss how that happens. Pasuk test verse 9. Hashechachtem Esro Savosechem. Have you forgotten the evil of your ancestors? Vesro Smalcha Yehuda and the evil of the kings of Yehuda. Vesro Nashav and the evil of his wives, that would be the wives of the king, Ve'es Ra'os Sechem, and your own evil, Ve'es Ra'os Neshechem, the evil of your own wives, Asher Asu Be'eretz Yehuda V'chutzos Yerushalayim, that they did, or you did, in the land of Yehuda and in the streets of Yerushalayim. Lo Duke'u Ad Hayom Hazeh. You have not broken away from that evil until this day. V'lo Yaru, and you weren't afraid. You did not go in my Torah and in my statutes, that I put before you, and in front of your ancestors. Therefore, so says Hashem. Behold, I am putting my face against you for evil. Ulahachris says, call Yehuda, and to cut off all of Yehuda. And I will take the remnant of Yehuda that put their faces to come to the land of Mitzrayim to sojourn there. So I'm going to focus on them, and I'll take them. And they will all end in the land of Mitzrayim. Yipolu, they will fall. I'm sorry, I stopped in the wrong place. They will all end. Beretz Mitzrayim Yipolu, in the land of Mitzrayim they will fall. Bacherev, Barav, Yitamu, with the sword and with famine, they will end. Mikaton ve'ad gadol, from young to old. Bacherev, Barav, Yomusu, in famine and in by the sword and by the famine, they will die. V'hayu la'ala l'shama v'liklala u'lecherpa, they will be as a curse and as an example and for an embarrassment for all. Ufakarati al hayoshvim beretz Mitzrayim, and I will visit upon those who are dwelling in Eretz Mitzrayim, and I'll punish them. Kasha pakarti al Yerushalayim, just like I visited upon Yerushalayim their sins, bacherev barav uvadaver, with the sword, with famine, and with plague. V'lo yepolit v'sarid l'sheris Yehuda, there will not be any remnant or escape from the remnant of Yehuda. Habayim lagur sham Eretz Mitzrayim, those who are coming to sojourn there in the land of Mitzrayim. V'la shuv Eretz Yehuda, to return to the land of Yehuda. Ashrahim ha-menasim es nafsham la shuv la shev esham, that they are lifting their souls to return to there. They think they're going to go back. Ki lo yashuvu, they will not return. Ki impleitim, only remnant. Only polit, only the escape, only those who will escape. Now this is contradictory. First, he says, no one will escape. There will not be any remnant. The entire group, everybody is going to perish. Young, old, men, women, children, infants, everybody is going to die. And then he says, Kilo Yashuvu Kiim Platim, the only ones who will return will be those who escape. Well, will there be people who will escape or won't there be people who will escape? So Chazal tell us, there's going to be two people who will get away. Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriya. That's what this means. Everybody else is going to be killed, but the only two who will get away will be Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriya. They will be spared. Now, before we read the astonishing response of the people, before we get there, let's just understand what happened over here. Hashem already said in the last chapter that because you're not listening, and because you're running away to Mitzrayim, I said you should stay in Yehuda and you'll be safe. And you want to run away, therefore you will all be destroyed. So it seems that it already was a foregone conclusion they will be destroyed. But in this perek, it sounds like no. The reason why they're all going to be destroyed is not because they ran away to Mitzrayim, but rather it's because they began to worship idols in Mitzrayim. That's why they're going to be destroyed. Therefore, we are forced to say that when it said in the last parak that because you are going to Mitzrayim, you're going to be destroyed, it's because Hashem was telling them that Hashem knew that if you go to Mitzrayim, you are going to start worshiping idols. And therefore, you are going to destroy yourselves. Hashem was telling them that you are running away to Mitzrayim because you think you'll be safer there. I'm telling you, you'll be safer here in Eretz Yisrael. If you go there, you will sever your ties with me and with your fellow Jews who are all in Bavel, and you won't survive. Remember that in Bavel, even though, of course, it's outside Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there are dangers there as well, spiritual dangers, but recall that 11 years previously, there was Galus Yechaniah, and the leadership of the Jewish people, the Talmidei Chachamim, were already in Bavel, had already established the infrastructure for a thriving Jewish community. And therefore, when the people of the exile showed up, even though they had gone through a terrible, terrible, tragic destruction, and many people were murdered and killed, many people were maimed, many people were suffering, and they were dragged in chains, many people died on the road to Bavel. But when they finally got there, they found a thriving Jewish community with an infrastructure. And they therefore were able to maintain their Yiddishkeit. Later, in Sefer Ezra, we discover that there were certain things that definitely needed to be shored up by Ezra. There were things that did become, that were not adhered to by the Jews of Bavel. And Ezra had to work to fix those problems. But by and large, the Jews emerged from Bavel Jewish. They emerged from Bavel still God-fearing, still connected to Hashem, still connected to the Torah. Mitzrayim had nothing, absolutely nothing. There was nothing there. When they got to Mitzrayim, they were in a foreign culture, no infrastructure, no leadership except for Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah, who they had dragged with them. Gedaliah had been murdered, no leadership to speak of, and now they try to set themselves up in this new country. What happens in the new country? Assimilation. Now, in their day, assimilation meant idolatry. We don't relate to that because nobody is drawn by idolatry anymore. So we understand assimilation to be secularism. That's what we see. You just have to replace one for the other. What the primary draw today, which is to behave as if there is no God and to pursue pleasure and to pursue the materialism, which is what today's primary Yetzer Hara is and assimilation is, and to try to fit in with the culture which rejects the spirituality and rejects any higher calling and focuses only on materialism, power, money, pleasure. That's what assimilation looks like today. And assimilation in their day meant Avodah Zarah, because that's what the culture was steeped in, was Avodah Zarah. And that's what everybody wanted, and everybody had a drive for. And therefore, they fell into that when they came to Mitzrayim. They did not have the ability or the infrastructure and the leadership to be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara. And so they fell apart. And therefore, they worshipped idols. And because of that, Hashem tells them, you're going to be destroyed. So what is their response to Yirmiyahu? Says the Pasuk, Tesvav 15. And I mentioned in the email, my Rosh Yeshiva of Weinberg Zechar Aracha used their response in a talk once about the study of history. What do they respond? Vayanu es Yirmiyahu kol ha'anashim hayodim. So they responded to Yirmiyahu, all the men who knew, ki mekatros nesheim leelohim acherim, that their wives were burning incense. Really, I kept saying sacrifices. Mekaitros really means to burn things. It means incense to other gods. And also all the women who were standing there, kahal gadol, a large congregation, they all answered Yirmiyahu. And all the people who were living in Eretz Mitzrayim, in Pasros, sang. The word that you spoke to us in the name of Hashem, einenu shomim elecha, we are not listening to you. Ki aso na'aseh es kol ha'davar asher yatza mipinu. We will do all that which has come out of our mouths. Lekater limleches ha'shamayim, to offer incense to the kings of the heavens, that's avodah zarah, that's idolatry. V'haseich lo nisachim, and we will pour libations for it, which is a primary form of worship, is to pour libations, like wine. Kasher asinu anachnu v'avoseinu milachinu v'sareinu, just as we are maintaining the Mesorah, we are doing just as was done by by us, our ancestors, our kings, our leaders, Biare Yehuda Ubuchutzos Yerushalayim, in the cities of Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim, Vanis Balechem, and we were satiated with bread, Vaniya Tovim, and we were good, Viralo Ra'inu, and we didn't see any evil. As long as we practiced Avodah Zarah, back in the old, good old days in Yerushalayim, everything was wonderful. We were taken care of. We had bread. We had good. We didn't see any evil. It was all great as long as we worshipped Avodah Zarah. Umin az chadalnu lekater limleches ha'shamayim. And when we stopped burning incense to the kings of the heavens, v'haseich la nisachim, and pour libations for it, when we stopped doing it, chasarnu kol, then we lacked everything. Uvacherev, uvarav, tamnu, and in the sword, and in famine, we were destroyed. We came to a finish. V'chianachnu mekatrim l'mlechas ha'shamayim ulahasech l'nesachim, and when we burn incense to the kingdom or the kings of the heavens and pour libations for it, you think we're the only ones doing it? This is the women speaking. You think we're the only ones doing it? Hami baladei anoshenu asinu lo kavanim lahatziva. You think it's without our husbands that we've done for it these kavanim lahatziva? They made these forms, forms, idols. Lehatsiva. Lehatsiva literally means to sadden it. So it either means to worship, which the Navi is writing as sad, meaning they didn't say sad, but the Navi is writing it that way because it's a sad thing that they worshipped. Or it can also mean, in the Targum he says, the Targum says that it's the form of a form of a woman. Whatever that means. Either way, it's some sort of an idol. Vaseich la nesachim, and pour libations for it. So their response is that Yirmiyahu, we don't accept what you're saying in the name of Hashem. You're claiming that if we worship Hashem, things are good, and if we worship Avodah Zarah, things are bad. Well, we say you're wrong. As long as we worship Avodah Zarah, things were great. It's when we stopped worshiping Avodah Zarah that things went bad. When we started to give up the Avodah Zarah, when the enemy came, then things got terrible. We were decimated, we were destroyed. If we wouldn't have listened to you back in Yerushalayim, if we would have continued to worship Avodah Zarah, then things would have been great. Then we would have been protected. Then we would never have been destroyed. So now they've moved away from the way they rejected Yirmiyahu in our last shir. Last class, we said The way they rejected Yirmiyahu was they said, you're lying. You're not telling the truth. Hashem doesn't want us to stay in Eretz Yisrael. He wants us to go to Mitzrayim. You made it up to say that He wants us to stay in the land of Yehuda. Now they've moved beyond that. The next step. Now they're saying, we don't care what Hashem says. Because when we listen to what Hashem says, we were destroyed. If we would have listened, if we would have worshipped the Avodah Zarah with more intensity, we would have been saved. That would have protected us. You see the progression of Avera, how one thing leads to another, one step leads to another, how an Avera that is done out of fear, it's still wrong, but has some excuse to it, leads to a horrific Avera that has no excuse. You see that the claim that the Navi lied leads to a rejection of Hashem completely. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that it is critical that a person not ignore this quote-unquote small Averos. That when a person ignores the small Averos and they say, I don't need to deal with those. That doesn't apply to me. That's not so important. I don't care about that. Then what happens is the Yetzer Hara gets a foothold. The Yetzer Hara gets a beachhead. And from there, the Yetzer Hara continues to move forward and expand its hold, expand its reach. And by giving in on the little things and saying, I don't have to worry about that, that's okay, it doesn't matter, it's not a big deal, who cares? Then the attitude continues and pushes, and a person goes from one thing to another and ends up doing terrible things. The Gemara says, if you see someone breaking objects in anger, a person gets angry, and because they're angry, they break objects. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is they're allowing themselves to get so angry that they break something. So breaking something is not, they didn't break a person, they didn't hurt a person, they broke an object. But if you see someone who is shover kelim b'chamasa, who breaks items in anger, yia beinecha ka'ovid avodah zarah. In your eyes, it should be like that person is an idolater. Why? Because that is the derech of the Yetzer Hara. Hayom omer lo asei kach. Today, he says to the person, do this. Ulamachar omer lo avod Elohim acherim. Tomorrow, he says to him, worship other gods. It's a step-by-step process. One thing leads to another, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And here we see that progression with the people who ran away to Mitzrayim. The Rosh Yeshiva of Weinberg Zichrono Livracha said about this, that you see that the subject of history is not a study of events. One could argue the study of history is not a subjective study. It's an objective study, and it doesn't matter who teaches it. It's just a question of listing events. This is what happened this date in this year. This is what happened this date in this year. Okay, you can have a debate about what happened when. Perhaps you can have that, especially if you go back further. The further back you go, you can have debates about the exact timing of different events. And perhaps you can even have a debate about whether an event occurred or not. But if you have events that everybody agreed happened, and you have events that everybody agreed when they happened, so what difference does it make? That's history. So okay, so list the dates, list the events, and you know what happened. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, that's not true. That history is a very subjective study, an extremely subjective study. It perhaps is more subjective than any other study. Because history is not a study of events. History is a study of cause and effect. When you study history, by definition, you are choosing, or the teacher is choosing, which events are worthy of mention. You can't mention every event. Every second of the day, there are billions and billions of events taking place that are either important or unimportant. So 100 years from now, they look back to this date in history, what is going to be considered a significant enough event to warrant being taught in a history class? Is it going to be something that's going on a political level? Is it going to be something that's going on an economic level? Or is it going to be the Torah learned in a Beis Medrash? We know the Torah learned in a Beis Medrash is far more impactful than anything else that's going on in the world. But that's not going to be mentioned in a secular history book 100 years from now, because they don't know what's important and what's not. They also don't know what's cause and what's effect. What causes what? What is caused by what? With things that it appears this is the cause and this is the effect, it may be just the opposite. Maybe just the opposite. The Gemara tells us, Yoser mima sha'ani osala balabayas, balabayas osala ani ani osala balabayas. More than what the person, the giver of the tzedakah does for the poor person does for the giver of the tzedakah. Poor person comes to your door, knocks on the door, and you give the person money. So what's the cause and what's the effect? Is the cause the person needed food, needed money, so they knocked on your door, and the effect was that you gave tzedakah. And then the cause is you give tzedakah, and therefore now this person has food. Is that the way it goes? Or does it go that you needed the merit of giving tzedakah, so Hashem brought the poor person to your door, and then the poor person gave you the opportunity to give tzedakah, and he walked away, and you came away enriched, because now you have the merit of giving tzedakah. Which is the cause and which is the effect? The Gemara tells us the cause is our need for the mitzvah. That's the cause. The effect is the opportunity to give the tzedakah. That's the opposite of the way people think about it. And that's a very, very specific and quote-unquote minor event. In the stage of world history, what's the cause and what's the effect? What is it? Yirmiyahu is telling them, by worshipping Avodah Zarah, you're destroying yourselves. If you go back to Hashem, you'll be safe. They say, Yirmiyahu, you're wrong, and we'll prove it to you. In the past, when we worshipped Avodah Zarah, we were safe. It's when we gave up Avodah Zarah that we were destroyed. Not the way you're saying it. That the Avodah Zarah destroyed our ancestors, and that the Torah or Hashem would have saved us. They couch it completely the opposite of Yirmiyahu. And this is why the Rashiva explained the study of history is by definition inaccurate unless you are learning it through the Torah lens. Any study of history presented in a secular forum is by definition inaccurate. It's not that the dates and the events are false. They may be true. Sometimes they are false, but generally they're true. But what is inaccurate is, first of all, what should be listed, what's important and what's not, and second of all, what's the cause and what's the effect. And what the secular historians are listing as causes and effects are wrong. They're not wrong in the sense of, well, it's another way of looking at it. No, it's false. I don't want to say it this way because it's going to come out too harshly, but it's a lie. Not a deliberate lie, but it's a falsehood. It's teaching something that is not true. When you learn history from a secular source, you are learning things that are not true, that are not the truth. They are false. Because you are learning about cause and effect that is simply untrue. It may appear that way to the secular historians, but it is not true. And the only way to really know what is cause and what is effect is through the lens of the Torah. The Rosh Yeshiva was very, very strong about this and felt that it is to learn when we say Chachma Bagoyim Tamin, that we believe that there is wisdom amongst the nations of the world, that is referring to things like physics, mathematics, those things you can learn from a secular source. Why not? They are just as accurate in a secular source as any other source. But history, that is not a wisdom amongst the nations of the world. That is a falsehood. There is no true history among the nations of the world. It is completely false, not on purpose, but by definition it's false because they're not looking through the lens of the Torah, and therefore their definition or their interpretation of cause and effect is necessarily wrong. This was the example that he used in that presentation. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Vayomer Yirmiyahu el kol ha'am. So Yirmiyahu said to the entire nation, Ala givarim, ve'al anashim, ve'al kol ha'am, the men, the women, and all the nation, ha'onim oso davar, that had just answered him, Lamar saying, Halo es ha'kiter asher kitartem be'arei Yehuda u'b'chutzos Yerushalayim, this incense that you burned in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Yerushalayim, atem baboseichem, you and your ancestors, malcheichem, v'sareichem, your kings and your leaders, ve'am ha'aretz, and the people of the land, osam zachar Hashem, those Hashem remembers, that's not a good thing, v'ta'ale alibo, and they have come up on his heart. Hashem could no longer bear your sins because of your evil ways. Because of the despicable things that you did. And because of your avodah zarah, your land was a destruction, a desolation, a curse. May in Yoshev, with no one dwelling there, kayom is like today. Mipnei asher kitartem, because you burned incense. Vasher chatosem laHashem, you sinned to Hashem. V'lo shematem b'kol Hashem, you didn't listen to the voice of Hashem. Uvisoroso, and to his Torah, uvichukosav, and his statutes, uveidvosav, lo halachtem, again his mitzvos you didn't go in. Al kein karos eschem hara azos pakayom azeh, therefore, this evil has come to you. That is the accurate presentation. Vayomer Yirmiyahu kol ha'am ve'al kol anashim, and Yirmiyahu sent to the entire nation, all the women. The reason the women are singled out here is because burning incense was generally done by women. That was typically done by women. And sacrificing animals was typically done by men, whereas burning incense was something done by women. That's why they're specified here. Shimu Dvar Hashem Kol Yehuda, listen to the word of Hashem, all of Yehuda, Asher Beretz Mitzrayim, that in the land of Mitzrayim. Kol Amar Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael Lamor, so says Hashem, Atem Unishechem, you and your wives, Vatidaberna Befichem Uvyidechem Mileisem Lamor, you spoke with your mouths, and you also fulfilled with your hands, the following, you did as follows, you said, Asonase Es Nidarenu, we will keep our vows, asher nadanu, that we vowed, likater limleches hashamayim, to burn incense to the kingdoms of the heavens, ulahasech lanesachem, and to pour libations for it, hakim takimna es nidreichem, vaso sasena es nidreichem, you have kept your vows, and you've done what you said you were going to do. You did all that you said you were going to do. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedivro. Lachein, therefore, Shimu Dvar Hashem Kol Yehuda Hayoshim Veretz Mitzrayim, listen all Yehuda who dwell in the land of Mitzrayim. Hinani nishbati v'shmi ha-gadol amar Hashem, behold, I have sworn by great name, says Hashem, im ye'od shmi nikro b'fi kol ish Yehuda, my name will no longer be called in the mouths of the man of Yehuda, which means the man of Yehuda will be destroyed. Omer Chai Hashem Elokim b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, to say that the Hashem Elokim should by the life of Hashem Elokim in all the land of Mitzrayim, that no longer will the people of Yehuda use my name. Hinei shokein aleihem lira'a v'lo l'tova. Behold, I am going to act quickly against them for evil and not for good. V'samu cholish Yehuda asher be'eretz Mitzrayim, and all the men of Yehuda in Mitzrayim will end b'cherev uvarav, with the sword and with famine, ad kilosam, till they're completely destroyed. Ufalite cherev, and those who escape from the sword, again, that's referring to Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah, yushuvun min eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Yehuda Misei Mispar, they will return from the land of Mitzrayim to the land of Yehuda. They will be few in number. V'yad'u kol sheiris Yehuda habayim l'eretz Mitzrayim magor sham. And the remnant of Yehuda that came to the land of Mitzrayim to sojourn there will know Dvar mi yakum, whose word will be established. Mimeni umehem, from my word and from their word. Well, let's see who's right. You will find out very shortly who is right and who is wrong. V'zos lachem ha'os nu'um Hashem, and this is the sign for you, says Hashem, kifokinani aleichem b'makom hazeh, that I am visiting upon you your sins in this place, leman teidu, that you should know, kikom yakumu dvarai lachem l'ra, that my words will be established upon you for evil. So here is the sign. Komar Hashem, so says Hashem, hinini nosenes paro chofra melech mitzrayim biyaroi vav. Behold, I am giving over paro chofra, paro the broken one, the king of Mitzrayim, into the hands of his enemies, uviyar mavak shei nafsho, into the hands of those who seek his soul, kashena satyas tzidkiyo melech Yehuda, biyad nebuchadrezzar melech bavel, Oivo umavakesh nafsho, just like I gave over Tzidkiyo, the king of Yehuda, to Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babel, his enemy, the one who sought his soul. When you see Paro being given over to his enemies, when you see the enemy of Paro defeating Paro, you know it's all over for you as well. And you're going to be finished. And that is what will happen not too long in the future. Babel, Nebuchadrezzar will come to Mitzrayim. He will conquer Mitzrayim. And he will absolutely decimate the Jews who are living in Mitzrayim. The only ones who will escape will be Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neria, as the word of Hashem says. And that is the final point in the story of Gedaliah. However, we have one more loose end to tie up, which is the next chapter, which is a very short chapter, which we're going to do right now. And that is Baruch ben Neria. Baruch ben Neria has been mentioned several times in the book of Yirmiyahu. He was also called Eved Hakushi. He was called by that title before. And Baruch ben Neria has been the faithful student of Yirmiyahu. He saved Yirmiyahu from the pit when he was thrown into the pit with the quicksand. And he also has been with Yirmiyahu. He was also accused by the people in Eretz Yisrael when Yirmiyahu said, stay here and don't go to Mitzrayim. They said, it is Baruch ben Neria who has put you up to this. He has political intentions, and because of that, he told you to tell us to stay here. But it's him. He's the one who's putting you up to this, Yirmiyahu. They claimed that Baruch ben Neria was trying to get them, was trying to hurt them. Now, Baruch ben Neria is the successor to Yirmiyahu as the chief Navi. Yirmiyahu right now is the chief Navi. He is the Gadol Hador, he's the greatest of his generation. There are other great people, but they're not in Eretz Yisrael. They're in Babel. Yechezkel lives at the same time as Yirmiyahu. He is alive. So is Mordechai. So is Daniel. So are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There are big people who are alive at this time, but Yirmiyahu is the greatest, and in the chain of the Mesorah, of the transmission of Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu and onward, as we have mentioned in the past, there is from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way down to the time that the Gemara was completed, was we'll call it sealed, which is approximately the year 500 of the Common Era, around that time. But from Moshe Rabbeinu till that time, there were 40 consecutive generations of Torah and of Torah leadership, and of those 40 generations, the Rambam lists who was the primary transmitter of Torah for those 40 generations. After Moshe Rabbeinu, the one after him, everybody knows, was Yehoshua. But it goes on from there with others going through the generations. And when you get to this time, Yirmiyahu is the primary transmitter of Torah. He's not just the greatest Navi, he's also the great Talmud Chacham, and he's the primary transmitter of Torah. His primary student is Baruch ben Neria. After Yirmiyahu dies, then Baruch ben Neria will become the primary Navi, and also the primary transmitter of Torah. The line of transmission of Torah goes through Yirmiyahu to Baruch ben Neria. From Baruch ben Neria, it goes to Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer, who is the Gadol Hador, the greatest sage of his generation, he is the transmitter of Torah after Baruch ben Neriah, and he is the one who spearheads the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash is spearheaded by Ezra. And it goes on from him, all the way down through the generations, through famous names like Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, and to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and all the way down to Ravina and Rav Ashi, the ones who completed the Gemara. So Baruch ben Neriah is a link in that chain, and he is here with Yirmiyahu. We do not have a sefer of Baruch ben Neriah. There is very little information about Baruch ben Neriah, because he appears with Yirmiyahu over here. He is mentioned tangentially when we have Ezra. The Gemara tells us that when the Jews went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael under Koresh, the king of Persia, before the Purim story, where they're given permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, they lay the foundation and then the work is stopped. And then you have an interlude of the story of Achashverosh and the Purim story. And then after that, the work is resumed, and the Jews go back to Eretz Yisrael. They had gone to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild. It didn't work out. They came back to Bavel. The whole Purim story happens, and then they go back again. Ezra HaSofer only appears the second time. He doesn't appear the first time. There's 18 years between the two. And he only appears the second time, not the first time. The Gemara says, why didn't he go the first time? And the Gemara says, because his Rebbe, Baruch ben Neriah, was still alive at that time. That time is 52 years after the point we're in right now. Right now, we're talking about the first year after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That first attempt to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash happens 52 years later. Baruch ben Neriah is still alive, and he is unable to travel because of his age. And Ezra HaSofer is being Mishamesh Talmidei Chachamim. He is serving the great Talmud Chacham, the great Baruch ben Neriah. Therefore, he doesn't leave and doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael. 18 years later, which is the end of the 70 years, Baruch ben Neriah has already passed away, and that's why Ezra goes to Eretz Yisrael and spearheads the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So Baruch ben Neriah is mentioned there, but he's not the main focus of attention. Ezra HaSofer is the main focus of attention over there, and it's explaining the history of Ezra. So we don't have much about Baruch ben Neriah. He is a transitional figure, but he was the Gadol Hadar. And he was the greatest Navi. And he was the Rebbe of Ezra HaSofer, the student of Yirmiyahu. So, what do we know about him? So this Perek Memhei, which is only a 5-pasuk Perek, chapter 45, is about Baruch ben Neriah. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Hadavar asher diber Yirmiyahu HaNavi el Baruch ben Neriah. The words that Yirmiyahu spoke to Baruch ben Neriah, when he wrote these things on a scroll from the mouth of Yirmiyahu, in other words, when he wrote the prophecies of Yirmiyahu, when? Bashana harivis Leoyakim ben Yoshio Melech Yehuda Lamar. In the fourth year of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, the king of Yehuda, saying, Baruch ben Neriah wrote for Yirmiyahu back in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. That's going back from where we are here, 18 years. Tzidkiyahu ruled for 11 years. Yehoyakim ruled before him for 11 years. That's 22 years. This is the fourth year of Yehoyakim we're speaking about, which is 18 years prior to the story we're talking about now. What was written in the book 18 years earlier? We learned about it. Anybody remember?
Echa.
The Megillas Echa. That's right. At that time, Yirmiyahu had Baruch ben Neriah write Megillas Echa that we have today. That was written by Yirmiyahu, but it was Baruch ben Neriah who actually wrote it. We say that Yirmiyahu HaNavi wrote Echa because it's his Nevuah. But it was physically written by Baruch ben Neriah. He was the scribe that wrote it. So at that time, what did Yirmiyahu tell Baruch ben Neriah? Komar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Alecha Baruch. So said Hashem, the God of Israel, about you, Baruch. This is what Hashem said. Isn't that really special? Can you imagine a Navi coming to you and telling you, this is what Hashem said about you? Amarta, you, Baruch, said, Oino li, woe to me, ki yosaf Hashem yogon al machovi, that Hashem has added sorrow onto my wounds. Yogati ba'anchasi, I have toiled in my groaning. Umenucha lo matzasi, I did not find any respite. What does that mean? What is he talking about? He doesn't have a bed to sleep in? What is he talking about? Say Chazal, Umenucha lo matzasi means, I did not find prophecy. Baruch ben Neriah is the primary student of Yirmiyahu, and at that time, 18 years before this story, he has not yet become a prophet. And he says, why is that so? Yehoshua is the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. He became a prophet. There was no issue with him. He became a prophet. There was no issue. In addition, I forgot the other example, give me a minute. Yes, Elisha was the student of Eliyahu, and he became a prophet. Why am I unable to become a prophet? I'm the primary student of Yirmiyahu, and I'm not a Navi. Why not? At that time, he was not a Navi yet. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Ko tomar ilav, Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, this is what you should say to Baruch. Ko mar Hashem says to Hashem, Hinei asher bonisi ani hores. Behold, that which I built, I am about to destroy. This is at a time when the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was going to be happening. He says, that which I built, I'm about to destroy. And that which I planted, I'm about to uproot. And it is the entire land that is going to be destroyed. And you are seeking for yourself greatness. You want prophecy. Al tivakesh, don't seek it. Kihinani mevi ra al kol basar nu Hashem, because I'm about to bring evil upon all flesh, says Hashem. V'nasati lecha es nafshecha l'shalol. I will give you your soul as a spoil, meaning like a spoil of war. Your soul will be spared. Al kol hamakomos asher telech sham, all the places that you go. Says Hashem to Baruch ben Neriah, I'm not going to give you prophecy right now. I'm about to bring incredible destruction. What I am going to give you is a guarantee. You will be safe. You will make it through. You're not going to be destroyed. You will make it no matter how bad it is. I am guaranteeing you survival. That's what I'm giving you. I'm not giving you prophecy as of now. Says the Medrash, why not? Why not? What's wrong with what Baruch said? Yehoshua got prophecy. He's the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. Elisha gets prophecy. He's a student of Eliyahu. Why not? Says the Medrash, because Hashem is about to destroy. That's what he tells Baruch. And we know that Hashem does not give greatness to an individual Jew except on behalf of the Jewish people. The greatness that Hashem gives our leaders is because of us. Moshe Rabbeinu got prophecy because he was the leader of the Jewish people. When we were nizufim, when we were distanced from Hashem because of the miraglim, because of the spies, Hashem did not speak directly to Moshe Rabbeinu for 38 years. Because it's in the zechus of the Jews that our leadership get that connection to Hashem. Klum nasati l'chagdula ala b'shvilam. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I only gave you greatness because of them. They're sinning. Lech raid. You have to go down. You can't stay up here with me. Your greatness is dependent on them. Hashem is saying to Baruch ben Neriah, your greatness is dependent on the Jewish people as well. Yes, you personally deserve connection. You deserve prophecy. But I'm not giving it to you because I'm about to destroy. The Jews are headed in the wrong direction. They're going the wrong way. And therefore, you can't get prophecy. What I am going to give you is survival. What does that mean? Well, that's obviously in and of itself special, that he knows he's going to survive. But why is Hashem telling him he's going to survive? What does that mean in context to this discussion of prophecy? Hashem is telling him, you're going to survive this destruction, this really, really bad time when you can't have prophecy because the Jews don't deserve it. And you will witness when they hit rock bottom and begin to turn in the other direction, that's when you're going to get prophecy. That's when the Jews will deserve it, and that's when it's going to happen. He's not telling him he's going to live to see the second Beis HaMikdash, because he doesn't live to see the second Beis HaMikdash. But he tells him, you're going to survive this really terrible, rocky time for the Jews when you can't have Nevuah. But you'll get to the other side. You'll get to the other end of this whole thing. When you're on the other side of this whole thing, then you will get prophecy. That's what's going to happen at that time. And that is what happened. Baruch ben Neri eventually does get prophecy, but it is only after you get past this really terrible time with the Jewish people and where they are in Galus, going into Galus. And that is what he tells Baruch ben Neri. So Baruch ben Neri is forced to go through this entire process without Nevuah, but with a guarantee from Hashem that he will be on the other end. He'll be on the other side. And when he is, then he will witness that and he will be able to have Nevuah. Yirmiyahu does not get to the other side. Yirmiyahu passes away at some point after the destruction. And Yirmiyahu himself laments the fact that he is the Navi that has to shepherd the Jews through this most horrific time. But he doesn't get to see the other side. But Baruch ben Neri does. And even though he doesn't see the complete rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, but he does get to see it begin in his day. As he is alive for that initial rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the laying of the foundation, even though he can't travel, but he knows it's happening. And he is the bridge between Yirmiyahu, who sees the downfall of the Jews, and Ezra HaSofer, who sees the Jews on an upward trajectory. Baruch ben Neri follows that curve, down and up. And he sees the bottom and the top, not the bottom, excuse me, he sees the hitting rock bottom and starting that curve back up, back in an upward trajectory. That is what he sees. So this chapter gives us an insight into Baruch ben Neri.